You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of Board Meets World, titled Class Pre-Union. We are your hosts. I'm Kyle. Sitting across the table from me is Steve.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah. What you watching back there?
I'm just looking at nature.
Nature? Yeah. Sun come out finally?
No.
Oh.
Still a very dark day.
So we open this episode with Corey playing with
a camera?
I was going to say phone for some reason. Like playing with a recording phone. A recording camera.
I don't think they had those quite yet.
He's totally phased out just then.
Yeah. Corey's playing with a video camera. He's making
a documentary.
A little documentary about the plight of the middle child, I guess. This is the first and pretty sure last time we see something like this from Corey. So, like you just asked me before we hit record, I'm not sure what the point or why it was a thing necessarily.
It's the bookends of this episode.
Mm-hmm. We never see Corey like having some interest in
does he pick up a camera in college or
it's what it is, I guess.
So after that we get our wonderful opening that you know that we love immensely.
I mean, you want to talk more about this middle child conundrum?
I guess we can.
Okay.
Sure.
Because we see Morgan, she's about to leave with the parents. She's got a new dress, and fancy necklace, and she's always going to parties, and she's the baby of the family.
But
so the middle child sees that as he's a little neglected, I guess you might say.
But Corey wanted to go do something with Sean,
mm-hmm.
and he's not allowed because he was calling people in.
I could not say the name of that place again.
Saskatchewan or
something like
Saskatchewan.
That.
Up in Canada.
Yeah, just to hear people talk Canadian, says Alan.
What?
Yeah, eh? That was pretty funny. Alan's the best. I love Alan.
Yeah, pretty good.
Top character for me.
Is he?
Yeah, overall.
Oh, man. I don't see it this season, but my favorite character is Eric. Mm. But it's definitely not in season one.
He's still the bland, older brother.
Yeah, one-dimensional. Cars and chicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a line or two every so often.
Yeah, but
kind of pops me, but yeah.
It's not, what he's known for.
Not crazy Eric quite yet.
Mm-mm.
I mean, really, he hasn't really had a storyline per se yet either, so it's really all about Corey, which it is overall, but later it opens up with more side stories, I think. Anyways, of course, we get to our wonderful intro that we all know and love. Then we go to class, and who are the characters Corey and Minkus are playing?
Corey is playing George Washington, and Minkus is playing King George, and they're going over no taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which you learned about in history when you were younger.
Sure.
I hope they're still teaching that.
Tell us about it. Teach us.
If I'm understanding it correctly.
Low-key teach me, because I don't know.
It's, you can't tax them without showing them where their money's going.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to tax you, but it's going to build new roads for your town.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen that yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I hit about how many bumps in the road on the way here?
Oh, quite a few.
Just like all of them?
Yeah.
Just the entire road?
Yeah. But I mean, they're really, now that I think about it, they're
no,
really.
No, I'm pissed. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Can we do something with these roads? It's ridiculous.
Build up the roads.
Please.
Yeah.
If any officials are listening to Board
Meets
World.
We know you are.
My God.
I know the governor's a huge fan of the show.
I don't know if this is like an old man problem or what, but it's just been annoying the shit out of me lately.
Next thing you know, you're going to be screaming for people to get off your lawn.
Yeah, I mean, please. I'm trying to be out there. Yeah. You know?
But, yeah, there really isn't a way. There's not that transparency right now. You know what I mean? I don't know what my taxes
go to. Of where the money's going?
Yeah, a breakdown of each cent of my taxes that I pay. I don't know what they go into.
Well, I mean, I think it's just a thing now where it's like, we know they're going to take it. Like, yeah. Oh, well, we're just blind and numb to it at this point.
What you're saying is that representation is bend over and like it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
America.
Roll with it or get rolled over.
Which, Corey had some pretty funny points about America, I think, in this little segment.
What, boring old men named George?
No, I don't think that's about America, necessarily. You know, he was saying how we're like the land that's like does all the things by themselves, yeah, or whatever, and we don't need British goods. Yeah. We'll get everything from China.
He said Japan.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Because I don't think you can actually make that comment about China back then.
No?
Because we were getting a crap ton of stuff from China.
We were?
We were, and we still are. But
isn't that maybe ending?
Is it?
Isn't that a thing right now?
Is it? I haven't been keeping up.
Some kind of tariff with them or something?
About damn time.
So, I don't know. Trump. There's things happening.
I mean, that to me, that would seem like the number one thing to do.
Really?
You know, to nip this whole exporting jobs, mm-hmm, you know, marking down the cost of labor because you have people working for, you know, pennies in other countries and just shipping it over. You just tax the shit out of them. And then that encourages them to keep it in America if they're not making a profit and, in fact, actually losing money by having it manufactured. And this has been World is Bore.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing, but is it the right person to put it in place?
I mean, it should have been put in place years ago when, like, they started exporting this stuff. Back when, if I'm listening to my crazy old grandpa closely enough, when Bill Clinton signed this shit in.
Uh-huh.
So.
He just scares me in general. I don't want to get too political here, but I don't know. Just scared he's going to piss off the wrong people.
He might.
Anywho, where are we at here?
No taxation without representation. We're America. We don't need nobody's help. We'll just get stuff from Japan.
Right.
Yeah.
So Corey is like, history's boring. Every old man in history is named George. Boring. And of course, George Feeney looks a little taken aback.
Yeah.
Corey's like, oh, I meant every dead, boring old guy.
And then Corey's like, you know. Or Feeney goes, well, what's your history, Mr. Matthews, or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm 11 years old. I don't have a history. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the future.
Yeah. Of course, this sparks an idea for George Feeney.
The bells go off in Feeney's head.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, then we'll have a mock 20-year high school reunion.
Pre-union.
Yeah, Amicus.
That's me, be Amicus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to create our own histories here. Make a history for yourself.
Yeah, what are you going to be when you grow up? Are you going to have kids? What are you going to do?
Mika's thinks he's going to have a wife in the future.
Topanga.
By the name of Topanga Lawrence. And Sean's like, what's going to marry you? And of course, he's like all about Topanga. Coming on strong to Topanga here, I feel
he is.
A little too much. A little strange. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, maybe they were building him up to be that, antagonist to Corey.
Perhaps so. So then we see the boys in lunch, and they're talking about what their future is going to be and what kind of careers they're going to have.
Sean's a tire salesman.
Sean's going to be a tire salesman. Mm-hmm. Larry, I believe his name was.
Sounds right.
He's going to be a teacher.
Not just any teacher.
Yeah, got a little con going on. He's going to be mini Mr. Feeney. Yeah,
sixth grade social studies teacher.
Butt kissing is the sincerest form of flattery, I believe he said.
He said imitation is the sincerest imitation. Form of, blah, blah, blah. God, I can't talk. Imitation is the sincerest form of butt kissing.
Corey's like, you guys are being boring. We can be anything we want to be. Of course. What do you think he's going to be?
Oh, he's going to be center field for the Phillies.
Exactly. Baseball, baby. He loves it. The other kids are like, are you kidding me? You got 31 errors in Little League last year.
I assume bad.
I don't know anything about baseball.
No. I quit playing like before sixth grade, so I have no idea.
But error doesn't sound good. and that high of a number of them, definitely not good.
No, I don't think that's a good precursor for how well you're going to do in the, you know, MLB.
You guys can't see this. Kyle is Googling baseball errors, I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm actually looking up what we had pulled up before for later on in the show.
Gotcha. He's going to talk about a certain baseball player.
Yeah, which I thought was amazing, but go on.
Yeah, then the boys, like, Corey's like, we're going to be boring or whatever. Are we going to be men and have some cool jobs? And then it turns into this, like, home improvement thing with grunts and whatnot. Because they're going to be men.
That's a great show, too.
That's good. I would have liked to make a show about that, but it's already out there somewhere. So then we cut to Corey at home, and he's working hard on his assignment. He's making baseball cards and all kinds of shit.
Yep. Getting that uniform ready.
Yeah. Yeah, he thinks he's going to kill this assignment.
Okay. Yeah, he's got it all planned out. He knows exactly what he wants to do.
But does he have it all planned out?
He's got the idea. He just doesn't have a backup.
Sure.
Which we learn.
Then we see Morgan. She comes in, and she's traded that wonderful gold necklace for a plastic necklace, which Amy's pretty concerned about.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure it was her necklace.
She let her borrow it, yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, you gotta get that thing back. Morgan's like, what we said, black, no trades back, which I had never heard before.
No, that must have been a new kid saying we were already too old at this point.
Perhaps. Amy's calling Morgan's friend's mother to say we gotta do this trade back thing. Then the mom says the same thing to her, apparently, about black, no trades back.
No trades back, or no take back, right?
Whatever.
It's not important.
No, let's talk about this.
Nah.
Minkus is killing it in class next day with his assignment.
He bought Microsoft.
He's got all the paperwork ready.
Yeah.
I don't remember all he had.
He goes public, becomes the biggest software manufacturing company so-and-so has ever seen. Feeney, who is, let me remind you again, a sixth grade social studies teacher.
Well, he teaches all classes, okay. I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're in history right now.
Okay. We always seem to be in history, though.
History, social, what else has there been?
Geography.
Geography. Yeah. I mean, he's got them all.
Yeah. But he has so much knowledge, or pretends to be anyways, of, you know, business acumen. Like, I'm pretty sure I didn't use that word right. But he's like, well, you don't have your certified bill of sale or something, blah, 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 all this Wall Street talk. And, Minkus is like, here you go, a nice little portfolio.
Yeah, just killing it. Also, Minkus just had his third kid, I believe, by the name of Rainbow Einstein Minkus.
By way of Topanga.
Yeah. Then we see Sean, and of course he...
Tire salesman.
Was a tire salesman.
Got his own little spare tire going on there, you know what I'm saying?
I guess he didn't stick to the plan of being a man and having a fun job like they discussed at lunch. Yeah, and Corey's like, what are you doing, fat? He's like, my dad's fat, my uncle's fat, my grandpa's fat. I'm going to be fat.
Come on, so Core.
It's just already determined that's going to happen. Although, if you've seen Ryder Strong lately, looking good.
Slim trim.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Beautiful man.
He's got a goatee, right?
I hope so.
That was the picture I saw when I Googled Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Yep. And then we get to Topanga's.
She's the president.
Yes.
The first female president.
First female
if
president.
If I'm not mistaken.
Right. And she tells Feeney that she got it, and it was because the position is no longer desirable because she got rid of nuclear weapons and something else.
They all wear togas now.
Yeah, because of the something about aggressiveness or competition regarding fashion or something like that. And she's also moved all men underground for strictly breeding purposes.
Well, I was about to say the most woke character on the show until that part gets a little gray.
I mean, we could dive into that and talk if you want about like how the most rational side of the two sides is now like even more crazy than the right was, but I mean, it's been ran into the ground at this point, so.
Probably another show.
Yeah.
Larry is there in his best Mr. Feeney costume, somehow wearing the exact same suit Mr. Feeney's wearing that day. I'm not sure how he pulled that off.
Yeah.
But then again, we did learn that Mr. Feeney is predictable, so maybe He wears a certain suit.
On Tuesdays, he's always wearing that red sweater.
Yeah. So, yeah, he thinks he's going to kill this too. But quickly, Feeny just destroys him.
Yeah. He's like, every year I get a kid that does this.
Yeah, you're a suck up. I mean, do you even know what these words mean? For example, tenure.
Yeah.
He's like, I can look it up. And then he calls him a poser, basically.
Poser.
Yeah.
Look it up. And he sends him away.
And he runs away crying. Corey's like, you ready for me? Because I'm about to murder you with my...
Blow everyone's mind with what I want to do.
Of course, we see him in his little Phillies get up, looking like a regular center fielder.
Yeah, major leaguer, for sure.
He's got a box of Choreos ready to go.
That was pretty creative.
Yeah. I wouldn't have came up with that.
No.
Nobody. I mean, Stephen O's wouldn't even work. So.
I mean, baseball wasn't what I wanted to do when I was 11, but...
You want to get into that now?
I can get into it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
After the show. Well, not after the show.
Yeah, once the mics go off, we'll talk about that.
So, Feeney's asking him, like, how'd you become this great center fielder, major league player? Corey has apparently quit high school in the 11th grade.
Yeah, to play professionally.
Yeah, he has some wishy-washy... backstory of investments. He has buildings and guys handling it for him.
I have guys handling it. So basically, Corey is Trump.
Really?
And doesn't he say stuff like that? Like, I've got guys working on that. I've got a guy.
I tried not to pay too much attention.
Oh.
Then I would just be terrified forever.
Hmm.
That's why I got out of conspiracy theories.
You know Art Bell died?
No.
Yep.
Did you?
Yep.
When?
I think it was last night.
Tell me more.
Yeah, he passed away.
Why?
Which, if you don't know who Art Bell is, he had a radio show, I guess, started like way back when, coast to coast in the AM, going over conspiracies like UFOs, I guess chemtrails he covered too, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Thanks for the tidbit.
Yeah, we diverged a little bit. Getting back on course.
Yeah, Feeney's just poking so many holes in Corey's future here.
Yep. Like, what are you going to do when your baseball career runs out? Because athletes, you know, they're usually done by late 30s.
Yeah, because what are they going to do with the, you know, millions upon millions that they made?
Yeah.
I don't understand the stories of how people fuck this up somehow.
Well, the frightening thing I found is that I don't think a lot of people, and I didn't, count for inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the prices increase by 3% or something like the value of your dollar goes down 3% each year. Which is crazy.
Yeah. So, but still.
Yeah, you still got a lot of money, son. Come on.
If you're that baseball player from last episode that made 6.1 or 7 million in 6 years or whatever it was, how you gonna end up broke?
They find ways.
Just gets to your head somehow. Ruins you as a person.
Yeah.
Sad.
Well, they've got that lifestyle creep, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess, but no.
It's
come
like
on.
I'm making more money, therefore I can upgrade everything. I can get a better place to live, a better car, better groceries, better TV, a closet that doesn't make string sounds when I'm podcasting.
Whatever that was. Something jumped in there.
Somebody does not agree with my comment.
So yeah, Corey gets a incomplete for this assignment. He takes it pretty badly. He's like, you took away my future, and he's very defeated here.
Yeah, Feeney basically just took an intelligent shit on Corey's dream.
Yeah. Next scene, we see Corey in his bedroom, and he's ripping down all his baseball posters and whatnot, which, you know, feel bad for the kid. Yeah.
He's defeated.
Yeah. Eric's laying around. He's reading. He's thinking about saving up for a vintage Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
So... Then Corey starts giving him the Feeney treatment on how...
You're going to afford insurance.
He's going to afford anything like that. And actually, well, my dad's going to help me. And blah, blah, blah. Oh, what if you can? Just bums everybody out in the room, basically.
Yeah. Alan comes up telling him they're ready for dinner. And Eric's like, no, but anything get away from, I don't know, whatever, Senor Bummer. I don't know what he called him.
I wish you said that.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, they have a little talk, Alan and Corey, and he's like, I got an incomplete on my future. My future's incomplete. And then Alan's just like, future's always incomplete because once it's completed, it's usually...
Yeah, people tend to call it the past.
It's pretty good. I mean, again, Alan's the best.
He's very wise.
And he's like, you can do anything you put your mind to, which which is a nice thing for a parent to say, I think.
I never got it, but okay. I mean, yeah. I think I got the courtesy one, you know.
Sure. Like, yeah. Sure. Why not? Sure. Go for it, kid. We'll see.
Oh, you want to do that? That's dumb. Don't do that.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat there. But Alan's like, I once had a dream. I wanted to build bridges, which, you know, that's a new thing we learned about Alan.
Yeah.
But dreams change, and then he wanted to be a father, have a family, blah, blah, blah. And now he has a new dream of wanting to be a father of a Phillies center fielder.
Oh,
how cute.
Very nice.
Yep. And then we see Morgan's friend and her mother come over. Still not going to give that necklace back.
She's a little posh.
A little bit.
Man.
A little bit. The mother's like, I want you to know it's not the value of the necklace. It's just, I don't remember the kid's name.
My daughter's attachment to the necklace.
The attachment, yeah. Maybe Stephanie. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Then we see Morgan, and she's like displaying all these goodies to trick this girl into trading back.
We got brownies. We got a My Little Pony.
Yeah, a little crown, all kinds of things. So we ended up seeing that the girl traded her dress, a hat, the necklace, and even her mother's car for the brownies and the crown, which is crazy.
Yeah. Hustler.
Good trade.
Yeah. She's really smart.
I mean, those brownies did look pretty good.
They did, actually.
Yeah, they end up with the car, and then they're both asking for the keys, and then Amy hits her right back with the, it's not the value, it's Morgan's attachment to it. It's pretty good. Put the posh in their place.
Exactly.
Right quick. Then we see Eric on the phone, and he's like busted for cheating on his girlfriend.
She had me up against the wall kissing me. I was an innocent bystander.
But then Corey takes the phone and he's like, I don't even know who that was. So I'm not sure how that conversation was even happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just,
he's such a player, you know.
But yeah, Corey's freaking out and he's calling all his friends to get over there because Jim Abbott is there. If you don't know who Jim Abbott is, he's a baseball player. Yeah, I guess he was pretty big.
He played for the Yankees and his career spanned from like 89 to 99.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was a pitcher. And the crazy thing about him, though.
Is that a pretty long run? I don't know how.
10 years, yeah. And pitchers, I think that's one of those high burnout positions, right? Because the shoulder goes bad and stuff.
And you don't have a right hand.
He didn't. Yeah, that was the craziest thing was that I didn't notice it until he sat down and started talking to Corey, but his right hand, he was born without a right hand.
His right hand wasn't a right hand.
It's missing.
Wasn't anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, a top-tier pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how did he pull this off? And this is what I found. Of course, this is taken from a open source information website. I'm not going to plug them because, you know, they're not paying me. But
what could it be?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and read it from you. Just know that these aren't my exact words. So this isn't technically plagiarism. But turns out, like, when Abbott was preparing to pitch the ball, he would rest his mitt on his right forearm. After he released the ball from his left hand, he would quickly slip his hand into the mitt, usually in time to field any balls that a two-handed pitcher would be able to field. Then he would secure the mitt between his right forearm and torso, slip his hand out of the mitt, remove the ball from the mitt, usually in time to throw out a runner at first, or sometimes even start a double play. If you guys are baseball fans, you know what that is. I don't, and that's probably why I never made it past, like, first-year peewee. But anyways, usually in time to throw out the runner. Oh, I already read that part. At all levels, teams tried to exploit his field disadvantage, which we mean he only had one hand, guys, by repeatedly bunting to him. However, this tactic was never effective.
Never.
Think about that.
This guy was the shit.
This guy is basically, that's insane.
Yeah.
Just.
I kind of want to see just a clip of him, like, pitching a game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's just crazy. The amount of practice that went into that. Because, yes, you can have talent, but he was, you know, he's handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people play baseball, they never reach that level with two hands.
Yeah.
And this guy was top-tier talent.
Yeah, we see Jim Abbott come in with Alan, and of course there's a huge pop for people that actually knew who he was. I don't.
I have
other
it in my notes here.
It's a baseball player.
Like, Jim Abbott! I've never met him before, ever.
You never met him?
I've never met him before. Heard about him, never met him, you know. It was almost like he was in my living room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the boys are just in total stunned silence here and totally freaking out because I guess they're big fans, even though they're from Philly, like a Yankees player.
Well, I think they love baseball.
just great baseball players.
Just the love of the game.
Respect, I suppose it would be.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Corey had his poster on the wall.
That was him?
Yeah.
Wow. He had two hands in that poster.
Did he?
Yep.
Maybe it fell off sometime. Who knows?
Well, I don't know, because the guy's holding a... Because I noticed this, because it looked like that guy was playing with himself in the poster.
Uh-huh.
They had a bat in their right hand, and then their left hand was, like, over their crotch, like, as they had just let go of a swing.
Hmm.
I was like, is that baseball player playing with his dick? Hmm. Why is it in a family show?
I don't know why you notice things like that.
I don't know.
It's just your eyes were drawn to it for some reason. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No. Oh, nobody's going to get that.
Tell me about it.
I was trying to play the bass line for Seinfeld.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, you. Anywho, Jim Abbott's there to help Corey get over his sadness of having an incomplete future and Feeney just basically shitting on his dreams.
Yeah.
Alan somehow pulled this off by sending multiple letters begging him to come help him.
62-something telegrams?
Minimum, because Alan was like, you only got 62 of them, or 63, or whatever he said. Basically, Alan rules once again.
Yeah. How do you have time to write over 62 telegrams in the span of like a 24-hour period?
And they all got there
in
that time.
This just needs to be placed in the small lunch bag of mysteries.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe a big lunch bag, because I don't know if you've seen the show and seen how many things they can fit in those brown bags.
I'm saying the lunch bag of plot.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, remember that fucking ham hog leg and that brown paper bag? And there was also a piece of cake and, like, all kinds of shit?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Check out, episode one for that, I believe.
Yeah.
Alan's the best. Teacher pretty much told Jim Abbott all these same things. You know, it's a little pep talk for Corey over here. Dream big over there, you know?
And then he sends the same teacher pictures of him throwing no-hitters.
Yeah.
And then he refers him to the University of Michigan, where he gets a good college education.
Yeah. So basically, yes, his teacher did tell him these same things, but his father and his teacher told him, finish college, then do what you want, blah, blah, blah. And it worked out for him. It might not for Corey, but dream big or go home. You know what I'm saying?
At least they were pitching higher education, though. It's like a good fail-safe.
Yeah. Something to fall back on.
Yeah.
I think that was Feeney's main point, too, obviously. Then all the kids in the neighborhood and school show up, and they're ready for autographs from the great Jim Abbott. Of course, Mikus brings the wrong ball because, like me, he doesn't know anything about sports.
Right. You're both super intelligent and know everything about history and geography. And know that the two cities of Munez are owned by France or whatever they're called in Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a callback from Killer Bee, so you know.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm just like Mikus, basically. Then later on, we see Corey, and he's like tossing around the ball, and he's got his confidence back. After this great talk with Jim Abbott. And it lands in Mr. Feeney's yard, of course, and then Corey keeps name-dropping Jim Abbott. And how he came up with a new plan to finish school, go to college, play in college, and then end up being a major.
Right.
Feeney's very proud and gives him all of his balls back that he lost in his yard.
Yeah, there's a lot of balls in there.
And his balls back.
Metaphorically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go for it, kid. You know what I'm saying?
Those balls he got back are going to pump all that testosterone back into his dream muscles, and he's going to go far.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. What?
I don't know. But yeah, Corey's back to dreaming, basically.
Yeah.
Later on, we see, we finally come full circle back to this camera thing with Alan and Amy on the TV, or watching TV, and then Alan's kind of questioning himself after all this has happened, and if she's bothered that she married a failure because he never built bridges like he wanted to, and blah, blah, blah. Of course, we get the wife treatment of, oh, you're a great dad, blah, blah, blah.
You have a job where people respect you.
How could you be a failure, blah, blah, blah. And then it basically turns into kinky time over here. And
they try, anyway.
Yeah. Then Corey ruins it and pops up with the camera. He's like, let's see some action, which I thought was a little strange, but...
Yeah, well, I think it's, we look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
but we know what he's meaning. Like, car chases,
sure.
Gunfights.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or they're just a strange family.
They probably are an open family. What? What's the matter with you? Why do you keep insinuating things?
Why do you make me? yeah, so you want to see some action? Alan says, how about a chase scene? And he chases them up the stairs, camera, blah, blah, blah. And that's the end of the episode, and let's get to your little notes, shall we?
Well, we covered no taxation without representation. And they're assigned this, you know, 20-year high school reunion, what have you done for your life, pretty much.
Yep.
Did you ever have an assignment like that? Or have to write down, like, what you want to be when you grow up? Or
I think probably a writing, I would say. Who knows what the hell I wrote, because as we all know, like Minkus, wait, no, I'm not like Minkus at all. Here's where the truth comes out. I didn't try very hard in class, or probably just made some shit up one day of whatever, let's get this over with, or probably didn't even write the paper at all, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Did you have an assignment like that, or a fake reunion?
I think I did, actually, and like, I didn't have a fake reunion. No, they didn't do that, but...
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of activities like that in class.
They were wanting us to write down what we wanted to be remembered for. And I wrote one-dimensional bullshit or something. No thought to. And, yeah, classic cheese.
We're a lot alike.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
But yeah. So. What did you want to do when you were 11 years old, though? You had to have, like, a job in mind.
Holy shit. 11 years old?
Yeah.
I probably wanted to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to be. Or a Power Ranger, maybe.
I'm pretty sure I wanted to be Batman until my nuts dropped, so we're good. Yeah.
Very good. Did you have a real job ever in mind? Like, when did one come to you?
Probably when I was 16 or 17. I got an inkling that I wanted to be an attorney.
An attorney?
Yeah.
Is that dream dead, or what's going on?
Well, like, I had full intention of, you know, doing that when I was 18, but I didn't want to. I've always had a problem with putting up with bullshit as far as like jumping through hoops, playing games to get somewhere. And I was like, you mean to tell me I have to do a bachelor's degree before I can go to school for the thing I actually want to do? And, you know, and it's just, I was lazy and didn't want to do that. But like, you know, just quit going to college when I was like 18, didn't care at all. And I decided to go back a couple of years later, and I was like, you know, I'm finally going to do this. I'm going to do the attorney thing like I wanted to. And I go to my dad about it, because, you know, it's your dad. And,
well, it's not my dad. True.
Well, nah, yeah, well, it's my dad. You know? And he was just like, you know, that is the stupidest thing you could ever do.
Wow.
Yeah.
He wasn't an Allen for you.
No. He grabbed that dream by the throat and crushed it.
Hmm.
And, which I understood where he came from, because when I graduated high school, it was 2008, and in 2008, the recession hit, right? So, and one of the jobs that took a really big hit was lawyers, working for like 30 grand a year as paralegals where they're overqualified and stuff. And he was just like, yeah, you know how many lawyers are out there jobless? And it was like no thought of like, well, maybe I'm not going to stay in the state of Kentucky. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm not in it for the money. Maybe I wanted to work for the government and, you know, prosecute criminals or like defend people, you know, for like the money wasn't important. But
did you say these things to your dad?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
Oh.
Just, you know, you're right, Dad.
Yeah. Just like, holy shit. Well, how am I going back to college then if I'm not going to do that? And then, but yeah, that was the dream.
Very nice. Do you miss it? Do you?
I sometimes get that urge just because, like, I like catching people when they're full of shit and taking up for people when they don't take up for themselves.
Well, hey, if I ever get in trouble, I'll have you represent me.
Okay. I had fun doing a mock trial in high school, though, and I won the case.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're cut out for it.
Obviously. I'm sleazy enough, that's for sure.
Well, you are a grunty dickhole, after all.
Greasy little slime ball that I am. I'm basically Saul Goodman in his 20s.
I can see that.
Could you?
Yeah.
I mean, the hair is down, right?
Yeah. You look like Bob Odenkirk, yes.
Definitely. So, what about you?
Well, what about me, sir?
Did you ever have, like, any job? Like, you know what? That'd be cool to do.
Probably just, like, not very... I don't know. I think the only thing that ever really interests me, because I'm not into jobs or... working at all, really. You know me, I'm a lazy bastard, but only things that I'm interested in, like a music or something, like if I could do a recording thing or, you know, something like that, that would be cool.
Yeah. More so just something you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be viewed as any work.
Yeah. Man. But then I'd probably get into it and then be like, I got to go in there at like fucking 9 and then...
I'm obligated to do this.
That's every job that I ever have. It's like, well, I kind of like this. This is okay. I don't hate this yet.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks go by and then it turns into, I got to go there again.
Yeah, I'm over it. This sucks. This is work.
So I don't know if there is a real dream job out there, at least for me.
Man,
I haven't met one yet, so we'll see.
I've always been kind of like a dream job whore. Like it seemed like every 3 months I get a new, like, you know, wild hair up my ass and want to do something else. And but the lawyer thing was the first one that was like, holy shit, I can see myself doing that.
And it comes back to you. Yeah. So maybe it's a real thing.
Maybe I should.
Could be true love.
Could be.
We could change your life on this show.
I'm thinking like this is. We should probably change this to Kyle's therapy sessions or something.
Well, I think that's kind of, it's part that and part Boy Meets World. I think Boy Meets World is just a charade of us finally talking about our real lives.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good, because we didn't get that on our old show.
Yeah, yeah,
we did. I mean, we had little inklings in there, like when I would go in for a, you know, job application.
Yeah.
And that bitch Jody.
Called this man a dummy. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got anything else for us today?
What did you learn this episode, Steven?
What did I learn? I mean, I guess the obvious lesson here is probably to dream big, have some dreams, but have some backup plans, and be careful with your dreams, I guess.
Just shoot for the moon, and even if you don't make it, you'll land among the stars, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah, you should.
I got that off a poster in school. How about that?
Yeah, hang in there. I got that one. You ever see that one?
Oh, with the puppy?
I've seen a cat, but...
It was all even better.
Yeah. I thought you would like that.
I do.
It was wearing tiny little shoes.
Wow.
Yeah. You should see the pure joy in this man's face right now.
Oh, man, if they knew, like, my love for animals...
In tiny little human attire.
Yeah, yes. Like that French bulldog that did the Skechers commercials. I don't know if you guys ever saw it, but you need to get on YouTube and look at it. It has warmed my heart many times.
When he's feeling down that he's not a lawyer, he hits play on that and perks him right up.
I advocate that, boys and girls.
We got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, thanks for listening again this week, and we'll be back next week with, I believe the episode is 10, and it is Santa's Little Helper. Yep. And, of course, we're at Twitter at Raw. God, I got to get that show out of my head.
You feeling nostalgic over there.
This show can be found at Boar Meets World, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, boarmeetsworld.pinecast.co. Be sure to send in your reviews, give us a rate, subscribe, and we'll be back again.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
See you guys.